Good morning. Bring greetings to each one in Jesus' name. It's good to be here once again in the house of God. Trust that as we continue to look into the Word, there will be a blessing found here for us. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. It's a verse on the front of the bulletin here this morning. And I trust that as we worship here and wherever saints are gathered this morning, that God would be lifted up and exalted. Did enjoy that Sunday school discussion as well. I think we could have kept going for quite some time here in the adult discussion. Faith exercised in daily life. And I believe the message that I'm planning to share this morning is certainly a part of that. And especially we had some discussion on relating to riches. And I didn't think of it when I planned to share this message, but I think it goes along some of those same lines. So hopefully the thoughts can complement each other. Probably most of the locals here know I have been working on a series, bringing a series here the last several messages I brought. But I don't want to disappoint you, but I plan to break a little bit from that here this morning and plan instead to share a topic with you. It's a topic that I was assigned at another congregation, and I thought I would share it here with you all at home. You can turn for some starting verses to Deuteronomy 15. The topic that I was assigned was this as a title. Two words, radical generosity. Radical generosity. And the verses that I was given to base that on was verses 7 and 8 of Deuteronomy 15. So I would like to read those verses. Actually, I want to read quite a bit more. I think there is quite a bit of the chapter that applies. Maybe before we do that, I'd like to think about these two words a little bit, radical and generosity. I don't think these are foreign words to us, really, but sometimes, you know, a dictionary definition helps my small mind, maybe you would say, think about the words and what they mean and so on. So I looked these words up. Generosity, quite basic, simple. Willingness to give or to share, a quality of being kind and generous. Fairly basic, I think. You know, generous people are the people we just like to be around. They're kind, considerate, caring people, ready to share with others. Maybe just simple things as a friendly conversation or a friendly smile and wave. Cheerful. And you know, it's a quality, I believe, that we endeavor to teach as parents. Teach our children at a young age to be kind to others. Share your toys and so on. That sharing with others brings a happiness that far exceeds the joy that you might think you have by keeping for yourself. Retaining for yourself that toy or whatever it is. Generosity, willingness to give or to share. And we all can probably think of generous people that we know of. And I believe it's a quality that we all as Christians should desire to have. I believe we would all agree that generosity is a very necessary part of the Christian life. It's a very necessary fruit of one who would follow Jesus Christ. Some synonyms for generosity. bountiful, liberal. I think the one is used here in this passage of Scripture. So keep your eye open for that as we read. Well, that's generosity. What does radical, the word radical, what does that mean? Some definitions of that. Very new and different from the usual or ordinary. Another one, departing sharply from the usual or ordinary. Extreme. I wonder what comes to your mind this morning when you think of radical. If you were to give an example of radical, you know, what would that be? There's something that comes to my mind when I think of the word radical. My mind goes back to the happenings of September 11, 2001. And I'm just curious, who here remembers that day? All right, quite a few. Not so many in the younger generation. It doesn't seem that long ago, but it's over 20 years. Radical. And as I would understand it, I know there's many people, you know, that question, you know, some of the happenings and so on. We're not here to get into that today. There was persons there that had this ideology, you would say, that causing a great destruction that we saw. Those of us that remember, you know, buildings, property, many people's lives lost, that even at the cost of their own life, you know, losing their own lives, that somehow there would be a profit, there would be reward for that. And they went through with that plan. Years of plotting and planning to achieve their goal, I believe. That's what comes to my mind when I think of radical and maybe radical Islam was what many Americans would have labeled that. Well, what makes something radical? Does not our background or culture, what we consider normal, some of that impact what we consider to be radical? I think it does. You know, the men I talked about that carried out those terrible things of September 11, 2001 that you know, most Americans considered radical. Now, they probably didn't view their actions as radical, or at least certainly not to the point that others did. I believe that they were impressed somehow that they were in a good cause, that they were taught there would be rewards for and benefits if they gave their lives fighting for this cause. And certainly a very sad thing as you consider it from a godly perspective. And so I believe our background, our culture, many other things possibly that would come in there, affect what we consider to be radical. I mentioned radical as being different from the usual or ordinary. Well, who or what defines what is usual or ordinary? You know, a lot of people today would consider us right here a radical bunch, wouldn't they? You mean you go to church every Sunday, sit there for an hour or so, listen to the preacher, get all dressed up in your Sunday best. Sounds radical. Why wouldn't you go boating or something? You mean you sisters dress this way, wear that veiling all the time? It's pretty radical, isn't it? Many other things like that that we consider just to be normal or part of walking with Jesus Christ, I believe that many would consider radical and extreme. And so on. You know, I believe the further removed that society gets, that people get from principles of God and His Word, principles that God has established, the more normal some of these could we say the devil's ideology and the things of the devil, the more normal some of those things become. And in contrast to that, the more radical and extreme the follower of Jesus appears to be. So, radical generosity. So what is that? Put the two words together here. What does that look like to you and me? And maybe I'll just say here, you know, the generosity that we're going to talk about, the giving, the hospitality, and all of that, I trust that it's what I believe the Word of God calls us to. I trust this morning that that is not radical to us as Christians, but rather that it would appear radical to those the world-minded man of the world, as he looks on at some of these teachings. Yeah, the generosity, the exhortations that we're gonna see here, they're viewed as radical and extreme, not by us as Christian people, but by the carnal man. And yes, I believe it's the same spirit, carnal spirit, that would endeavor to rise within each one of us and take control again. And we need to daily resist that with the Spirit of God. So that's how I would like to address this here this morning, that this radical generosity is seen as radical through the eyes of the world-minded person. Well, let's read some here in Deuteronomy 15. I think I'll start at verse 1 and read to verse 15. Deuteronomy 15, verse 1. I believe this is God giving instructions to the Israelites, the children of Israel, through Moses. Deuteronomy 15:1, at the end of every 7 years thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again. But that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release, save when there shall be no poor among you. For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be a sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, out, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. Well, what do we see here as pertaining to generosity? Several phrases here I saw that got my attention. Verse 8, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him. Verse 11, very similar, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother. Verse 13, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Verse 14, thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and vineyard and winepress and floor and so on. We're thinking of generosity different from the ordinary. Maybe first of all, we should talk about what the ordinary or usual is. And I would say, simply put, the carnal man says, I look out for myself. Isn't that what's usual? Isn't that the ordinary in life? You know, as the saying goes, you've probably heard something like it. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid. Maybe we find that saying a little humorous. But I think it about sums up people who are earthbound. That's what is ordinary to the carnal man as human beings. That's what's ordinary to us. Just get all you can. You know, just get money, things, everything you're able to get. Hang on to them. Preserve them. Just get that savings account growing, that retirement stash or whatever it is. And then sit on that, so to speak. That is, guard it. Don't let anyone else get a hold of it. Keep a tight hold on these things. And you know, if I'm going to be generous, yeah, I'll give to my friends because after all, they're my friends. And yeah, maybe I'll give them nice things, gifts and so on, because most likely, you know, they'll give the same in return. They'll look out for me possibly in return. And it makes me look good and so on. But I only share if it somehow benefits me or a cause that I like and so on. Open thine hand wide unto your poor brother, God instructed them here. Furnish him liberally. Lend him sufficient for his need. A hand wide open. You know, that sounds pretty radical next to what man naturally thinks. You know, we naturally are, well, let's, I got to keep a few fingers around this, you know, because if I just open it wide, I mean, that my brother, he might just empty that hand right out. Furthermore, not only were they commanded to open their hand wide and give liberally, but they were to do so without expecting anything back, without expecting anything in return. And there in verse 9, we have a stern warning there. Beware lest that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart. Don't even have the thought that because, you know, the year of release is coming up soon that, well, I'm not going to give because my brother, he's not going to pay it back because he'll be free of that obligation. Don't even have the thought, he says. In verses 13 and 14, talking about concerning a servant who worked for his owner 6 years. The seventh year he was to go free. And if you were the master, you give him what he needs to get started on his own. Maybe we'd say we would do a housewarming or something. Maybe we would use that word today. Furnish him liberally. And all this, I believe, not expecting pay in return. I have a few points here that I'd like to go over. Things that I see taught here in these verses in regards to generosity. First one I have, what I have has been generously given by God. You know, we can so quickly forget this. Because after all, I worked so hard to get this. It was all my sweat and tears that got me here, where I'm at financially and so on. And we forget who made us with the ability to work hard. Who gave us the strength and health to get out of bed in the morning and go to work. And who gave us the wisdom to be able to do business successfully and so on. And verses throughout this reading remind us of this. Verse 4. The Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 6. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee. Verse 7. It talks about thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Again and again we have the reminders that what we have is God's. And he's given it to us. We're simply stewards of these things while we're here. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? A challenging verse from 1 Corinthians 4. Also another verse, 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. All we have has been generously given by God. Secondly, maybe closely related, I have it simply worded this way. Generosity remembers where I come from. And I take that from verse 15. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt, he says. And without my mighty hand, God says, you would have no help, no hope of getting delivered from that. They were to remember that, where they came from. And as they had opportunity to help out their poor brother, they were to keep this in mind, that they had once been in such dire straits as well. And keeping that in mind would help them to be compassionate and give willingly, give generously. Likewise, I say, as we have opportunity for giving today, let us also remember, you know, we all had the same humble beginnings. We all were born into this world with nothing. We didn't have property, money, things, and so on that we brought with us. See, I think we're taught that in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. And it says that we'll take none of that with us either when we go. We were born without all this stuff. And as life came to us, you know, God saw fit to bless some of us with much of these things, perhaps, and with others, and others possibly little. You know, we really didn't have a say in it. God could have caused us to be born in, you know, a poverty-stricken country far off to poor parents. We had no say. Whatever the case, the blessings we have in this land of plenty are given by God, and we dare not forget that. Our lot could have been much less, and generosity, I believe, remembers this fact. Thirdly, I have simply, God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver. And we find that admonition in 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 7, we are to give not grudgingly or of necessity, you know, because I have to, but cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. We find it here as well in Deuteronomy, this chapter 15, verse 10. Thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, it says. You know, I think he's saying it shouldn't be a hard or a burdensome thing for you to help out your brother in this way. Don't be grieved. God loveth a cheerful giver. Fourthly, God has given generously with the intent that we use it to bless others. We find that right next here in verse 10. He says, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works. And so on. I suppose it could be understood maybe that God's blessing comes as a result of cheerful giving. But I believe there's many other verses that would support this as well. That God blesses us so that we in turn can be a blessing to others. And you know, I would say if they needed that reminder, the children of Israel needed that reminder back then. Do we as Americans not need the reminder today? You know, when we're tempted to use our blessings to a more cushioned lifestyle, could you say? That we would think about that. Is that what God has given me these things for? Is that what God has blessed me for? Can these blessings be better channeled in some way for the blessing of others? Fifthly, there will always be opportunities for generosity. Verse 11, he says, the poor shall never cease out of the land. There will always be opportunity to share. And Jesus, I believe, said the same thing in John, I believe it's John chapter 12, verse 8. He says, for the poor you have always with you, but me ye have not always. There will always be opportunities to share. I came across this small story in a devotional book that I have. It says, a man once complained to his pastor, it is getting to be just one continuous give, give, give. The pastor replied to him, you have just given one of the best descriptions of Christianity that I have ever heard. And it went on to say that is just how it is in the Christian life. We give and give and give some more. We just never run out of opportunities. Sixthly, I will give account to God for my generosity or lack of it. Quite simply and seriously, I believe. I see this in verse 9. We already looked at that. Beware. There be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee. This last part is what I wanted especially, and it be sin unto thee. I will give account to God for my generosity or lack of it. It is a sin unto me. I believe this verse would bring out. Job 34:28 tells us God hears the cry of the poor. I believe he doesn't overlook. When generosity is withheld, and we have means to help someone and fail to do so. Well, these are a few of my thoughts as I looked at these verses. You know, these are all Old Testament verses. Do we have New Testament teaching on this as well? And I believe we certainly do. I'd like to look at some of those. You can turn to Luke chapter 6. like to look at some New Testament verses as related to radical generosity, and also some examples that we have. Thinking of generosity different from the usual or ordinary. Luke 6, let's start reading at verse 28. Luke 6, 28. Bless them, this is Jesus talking, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee with on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Well, how's this for generosity? Some of these things sound a little radical to our old nature. Well, sure it does. Give to every man that asketh of thee, it says in verse 30. Wow. You might say, if I did that, well, would I have anything left? That's what it says. Let your stuff be borrowed. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. I think we had this, looked at this verse in instruction class not too long ago. And yeah, we had some discussion on that. What do you think? Someone decides they're just going to keep your stuff. We're not to go try to reclaim it. Don't know that Jesus here is perhaps forbidding, to use gentle inquiry or civil conversation, perhaps in an effort, but certainly anything, I believe, of force or aggression in getting back what's rightfully ours, I believe it's not for us as Christians if we are serious about following this teaching. Verse 34, and if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Lend to these people that you might highly doubt you'll ever see that again. You're supposed to lend to them. Sounds pretty radical, doesn't it, for us Americans who tend to get pretty possessive of our things, doesn't it? Are we tested in some of these ways? If so, how are we doing this morning? Are we okay with being a little bit radical, a little different from the rest of society? What they expect as normal. Well, God give each of us wisdom in these things. Another few verses I'd like to look at in Luke is Luke chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. How about this? This also sounds a bit radical, doesn't it? When you prepare a meal, he says, we all like food, don't we? And what's better than food with friends? Hardly gets better than that, does it? We like that. And I don't think he's teaching against having fellowship meal or anything like that here. But he says in verse 13, call the poor when you make a feast. Call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Could we say, I think he's just saying the outcasts of society, don't you think? Invite the people who you know probably aren't going to be able to return the favor. You know, I wonder if some of us, maybe I'm just reflecting on myself, if some of us couldn't do better in this area. Just a challenge for us. What does he say here in verse 14? Thou shalt be recompensed. If you do this with no hope of getting the favor done back to you, he says, there'll be a reward. Thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. You know, now that's a reward that I believe we should all desire. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus talking again. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. I believe the teaching here that Jesus is trying to give is that generosity, the kind of generosity that Jesus wants, is one that doesn't seek recognition. One that doesn't seek recognition. You know, I don't know all the ways perhaps that we're tested in this, but one I thought of, I'd like to think about, or that I'd like to suggest. You know, some of these fundraisers or benefit auctions and so on. You know, if I give at an event like that, everyone knows what I gave. You know, it's public information that I gave 1,000 or 2,000 or whatever it is. It's going for the cause in Haiti or whatever it might be. You know, is that really following Jesus' teaching here? I just want you to think about that. I believe, I don't want to down some of those events. I believe many of them are for a worthy cause. But let's consider, I just beg us to consider how we go about our generosity. I believe that generosity, as Jesus is teaching here, does not seek public recognition, but it's rather the recognition that is in secret, that our Heavenly Father gives in secret, it says here. It really matters what he thinks, not what other people see or think. Maybe just an example or two yet here of those who were generous, perhaps to the point of being radical, or at least as carnal man would see it. And one we have in Luke chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living she had. Sounds pretty radical, doesn't it? She cast in all her living. My research would have shown that the mite was the smallest of the coins, worth just a fraction of the, we would call the penny perhaps, the denarius I think it was called, a day's wage for them. Just a small coin. She could have said, well, I need this to buy the next meal. And I'm just challenged myself by this example here, this widow, the widow set for us. You know, I can think of times in my life when, you know, the bank account was low, you might say, and I have to admit to my shame that my generosity, especially when it came to casting into the offering, was probably a bit low as well. She gave more than all the rich men, Jesus said. You know, they were just skimming off the top, you would say, of their abundance. She cast in all the living she had. What an example we have of selfless generosity. Another example I'd like to consider, it's rather a negative one, I don't think we'll turn to it. It's a familiar, I believe it's a familiar story we find in Matthew 19. It's a story of the rich young man that came to Jesus. And you recall he had those questions. And the ultimate question was, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus went down over all his commandments, you know, do not kill, do not steal, and so on. And yes, he checked each one of those off. I have done these things from my youth. What lack I yet? But Jesus said, if you will be perfect, I forget the exact words, but go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. I'm not sure if I have the wording totally there. But it says he went away sorrowful. He wasn't willing. He wasn't willing to do that. I think there's various ways we can apply this. But you know, I think, as I thought about that, that rich young man there, you know, I think if we're not careful, you know, us as Mennonites, we can have a little bit of a similar approach to life as that young man did. Can I say a check-the-box approach? Where we go down the list, you know, yes, I keep the Lord's Day. I give in the offering. I do everything required, you know, to be a church member and so on. I do this and that. We have each box checked off, you know, in orderly fashion. But when it comes to my farm or business, whoa, you know, that's my territory. Well, do those areas belong to Jesus too? I think we need to be careful. You know, we've all been blessed. I think we were told in Sunday school class that we were all rich. I think we need to be careful that these riches, these blessings, things that God has given to us, don't actually become that which hinders us, as it did this rich young man. Well, one more positive example in closing here. 1 Corinthians 16. You can turn there. It's a verse or two here. First Corinthians 16, verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Addicted to the ministry of the saints, it says. A very positive example, I believe, we have here of generosity. You know, the many addictions, usually a negative thing for us, isn't it? There's many addictions today that are negative, drugs and so on. This is a positive one. They have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I believe it says in the Amplified Version. What a positive lesson for us in generosity. Radical generosity, if you please. I believe this was generosity shown outside of the normal. And Paul compliments them on it. I don't know what all this service included. Was it time? Was it money? I don't know. But one thing I do want to say, and I probably should have brought it out before, but I believe in generosity. Generosity like we're talking about here this morning. I believe it has less to do with what's in your bank account than it does with what's in here. What's in your heart. You think about that. Think about the widow and the 2 mites she cast in. You know, she didn't have a bank account after she put that money in. But I believe she was a very real lesson for us in generosity. Generosity is much more than just money. I believe it's a heart of love. It's a heart of kindness. One full of Jesus' love that will want to spill over in blessing to others. It's generosity that I believe will be expressed to others. Whether it's words, it's actions, money, whatever it is. And I believe sometimes it'll be in ways that might just seem a little bit radical. Well, God bless you all as we endeavor to put this to practice, as we endeavor to give and serve Jesus Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.